Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And the Braves have won it. Who else but Freddie Freeman to deliver the walk-off blow? The only run of the game in the bottom half of the 13th.
You know, I think that's kind of up there with 2018, you know, the Acuna's grand slam and the home run I hit there. That was pretty dramatic. But when it's 0-0 for that many innings and how many times we were in jams and our pitchers got out of them, and I think this is going to take the cake. It was a very stressful 4.5 hours.
Yes, it was. I can't imagine what it was like to play it. It was stressful for us watching it, Freddie Freeman. And then Freddie the hero again, the MVP, what we think is the MVP, and the Cy Young winner, what we think is the Cy Young winner, and Trevor Bauer and Freddie Freeman. Boy, if they are, in fact, those winners, did they come through yesterday? 404-741-0929, the phone number if you want to be part of the program. We're asking you about the clutch Atlanta Braves and whether or not the win yesterday, despite 21 strikeouts, the Braves used pitching and defense, whether that's a good sign because they were able to win that way or whether it's a big concern because, you know, Hugh, I've said this, if the Braves are going to win this World Series, their bats are going to have to roar, and they were silenced yesterday.
I mean, but, you know, John, like I said, that is kind of the sentiment in, you know, playoff baseball, you know, good pitching. And that's why it always has been a premium on pitching. The Braves were able to overcome that yesterday and win the game. And I think that for them, that's huge. I think it's huge in the sense that it's a confidence builder in the way that they went about it. And, you know, they struggled a little bit, but I think it was a huge confidence builder for them.
Well, that's exactly what Brian Snicker said. He said exactly what you said, Hugh. You guys are seeing eye to eye. This is the manager after the game.
Yeah, no, well, and you know what? When you're facing a guy like Trevor Bauer, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, that's a rough ride, man. He was really good. All the guys, you know, it's different. Guys get a little more amped up, a little anxious, I think, in this situation. And but still got a lot of confidence in our offense and probably good. I'm glad we got a win today and get that one under their belt and should kind of relax everybody for tomorrow.
Yeah, you would hope that coming into today you wouldn't want to put Ian Anderson into an elimination game in his first postseason start here. Let's get some of your reaction with John and Hugh. Alan joins us on the program this morning. Morning to you, Alan.
Good morning, guys. Regular season is over. This is playoff baseball. And in playoff baseball, you have to have pitching, defense, timely hitting. It was rough yesterday, but that's the playoff baseball, and you got to have it. My biggest concern is just the starting pitching. You got Anderson and you got Kyle Wright. So they have no experience in playoff baseball. So that is one concern I have. And another concern is running on third base with less than two outs. We have had trouble all year. Those are my comments.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Alan. You know, good sign yesterday they won, or big concern. To the pitching, Hugh, yesterday, everything that we've talked about with this bullpen, and Brian Snicker managed the bullpen, I thought did an impeccable job in managing the bullpen. Everything we've ever said about, oh, the Braves are going to have this bullpen to lean on, yesterday was that game.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you, John. You're talking about the contributions from everybody. You're talking about from Melanson, you're talking about from Matzik, Green, everybody. I think that that was one of the things that really kept it going. But we knew going into this series, our biggest concern has always been our starting pitching. And, you know, today, you know, Ian Anderson's on the mound. He's going to be asked to, you know, kind of pick up where Max Fried left off yesterday. I mean, that's basically what we're talking about. We don't know. We know the Cincinnati Reds are going to come to play. But to that fact, you know their offensively, they're not that greatest. So today is a day that you should be able to take. You should take advantage of the fact that, you know, they don't hit that great.
Well, you know, one of the things that was happening yesterday during the broadcast is like Dansby Swanson's up in a, you know, in the extras, and there's a man on first, and he's not going to bunt, and you had A-Rod on the television going, oh, they've got a bunt. You know, I don't know why they're not bunting. I mean, he's just going off about not, you know, Dansby not bunting, and I'm thinking, well, Dansby can rake, and B, it's not what the Braves do, and you got to kind of dance with, this is what we talked about yesterday. Do you dance
you
with what bunt you?
You can't change it.
Yeah. You can't all of a sudden – the Braves had exactly – and then Matt Vasgersian pointed out the stat. The Braves had one sacrifice bunt this year. One.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's – that right there, John, is going to go and help build confidence. That's the confidence builder right there, because you won a game and you didn't change who you were to do it. You didn't adapt. And I know, like, some people might be saying, oh, well, you know, sometimes you have to adapt. Or, you know, you hear the term adapt or die. But when you're in a position where, you know, you're doing what got you there, and you know that there are still some questions about your starting pitching, you can't change that.
It's I know one of them was Dansby, and he has a penchant in those situations. He's hard to double up, number one. He has a penchant for getting big hits. He's probably our best bunter. But I did think about that, yes.
And by the way, Dansby did hit into a fielder's choice that he did beat out, didn't double up. And you're right. I mean, I get it. I mean, it's strategy baseball. I understand it. I mean, guys, I get this. At the same time, you do have to lean on what it is that is your long suit. And this is why we're asking the question, whether or not, because I think this is, Hugh, let me be clear. I think what happened yesterday is a wonderful sign for the Braves. I mean, that they could have as meltdown a game as they had at the plate with 21 strikeouts. And again, not just, you know, getting blown away, just bad swings where they're just waving at the ball. I mean, like they had never seen, you know, how to hit before. And yet we all know, I think we all believe you, that as you said, that against even a guy as great as Luis Castillo, who he is, that the Braves are going to come out today and they're going to put the bat on the ball.
I think part of that, John, was probably a little nervousness, you know, because even though it's a different scenario and it's a different year, you know, you tend to think about the last time you're in the playoffs and how you don't want that same scenario to happen to you again. Maybe it was a little bit of that.
Yeah, we remember the last game prior to this. That was that 10-run debacle against the Cardinals last year. And now they've won this game against the Reds. And Jay joins us. Jay, is it a good sign that the Braves are able to win a game like this, or is it a concern that their big hitters are going to have trouble in the playoffs?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Good morning.
I think it's more concerning than a good sign. I'm kind of on the fence with it. I mean, against a guy like Trevor Bauer, who's probably running away with the Cy Young, I mean, you're going to strike out a lot. You know, the Braves have the horses in the bullpen. That's a given. Everyone already knew that. The bigger question for me is, can you really count on a guy like Ian Anderson with no playoff experience to even give you four or five innings comparable to what Max Fried gave you? Because you had the Reds made a lot of bonehead plays yesterday where they could have took the lead and they made mistakes on the base paths. So I think the bats do have to wake up, because I don't think you can expect something like that out of Ian Anderson. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Jay. See, Hugh, I think this is where, you know, there's going to be a game here in the playoffs, presuming that the Braves advance past this series, and it certainly looks like it's, you know, possibly likely at this point, where, you know, when they go to Texas to play in the next round, there's going to be a game where the bats have to bail them out. The bats all year long, Hugh, the bats had to come from, they were down 3-0, they were down 6-1, they were down 10-1, and you get those late rallies where the Braves would win a game they shouldn't win because they started hitting home runs left and right. They were the comeback kids. So the bats bailed them out all year long, and likely that will happen in the playoffs, or at least likely it will be that the Braves bats will be called upon to do that. And the question is, will they be able to respond?
I think they'll be able to, John. I do. I think momentum is everything. As far as Ian Anderson is concerned today, yeah, we don't know. And that was one of the biggest concerns that we had coming into this. But I will say this. He's a competitive spirit. And I think that that counts for something. You don't know until you know. And you don't know how you're going to perform until you're in those positions. But everybody has to start somewhere. And I think by him sitting back and seeing what Max Fried was able to do and how juiced this team is, that he's going to ride that momentum wave. And another thing about being in a situation like this, as much as we don't know about Ian Anderson, guess who else don't know about him? The Cincinnati Reds, they don't have a book on him and how he's going to perform. So that could very well work in your favor.
Also, keep in mind, as good as a pitcher as Luis Castillo has been, and he's been really good. You know, he was their number one starter ahead of Bauer last year. He's never pitched in the postseason either. One more cut here from Freddie Freeman talking about how yesterday's win and how the game played out changes things a little bit for the Braves.
We flipped it on him. Flipped that narrative real quick. But, good pitching, you guys know it can beat good hitting. You're going to have to win these kind of games in the playoffs. It's just you're going to be facing ones and twos all the way through. So it's very rare you're going to score a bunch of runs. And, you know, we knew Max was going to put up numbers just right along Trevor today. So it was not what we're used to. We're used to scoring a bunch of runs, but you know, when our pitching staff did what they did, it was just huge to get this win. And now they can write something else. You guys got something to write about for the next 24 hours about us not scoring that many runs.
Yeah, I did one. It's all it took. One is all it took. No, Hugh, I think as nerve-wracking and as gut-wrenching as that game was, I'm going to take it as a good sign, and hopefully, if it's the sign I think it is, the Braves go out today and their bats start swinging and they take the Reds out today. That's what I'm hoping for.
That's what everybody's hoping for, John. You know, different than everybody else. You sound a little nervous. You need a puppy. We need to go get you a puppy real quick before noon. Is there any kennels that are open this morning if we go get John a dog? We know Abe got a dog. He has Chipper over there, so you know Chipper's going to keep Abe company. But we need to get you one too.
No, I don't need a dog.
I just found out. Shout out to everybody that told me. The kids in Cobb County, they usually don't have school on a Wednesday, so that's probably why they were out.
They don't have school on Wednesdays?
Yeah, because I guess they said that they're cleaning the building.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, during the pandemic, yeah? Okay.
I heard Chucky TJ's feelings when I said something about the Patriots. He said he's not digging the Patriots analogy. They never proved they could have success without cheating.
Oh, okay.
And that's because the NFL covered it up, for example. Oh, I don't feel like reading the rest of that, Chucky. It was just an analogy, man. It's radio. That's what we do. Get out your feelings. I'm not having it today, y'all. I'm just letting you know. This keto got me a little edgy, so you might get your feelings hurt. Just throwing it out there.
We have Thursday Night Football coming up tonight as the NFL's Week 4 kicks off. Not the greatest game, but still we have it nonetheless, Broncos and Jets. And that'll be the first game of Week 4. Some of the other NFL headlines. More discussion about the Braves throughout the program today with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Week 4 of the NFL starts with a whimper, not a bang, when Denver takes on the Jets tonight. On Thursday Night Football, sounded like a good idea at the beginning of the year when they put the schedule together, not so much now. But that's okay. I mean, the J-E-T-S, Jets are an M-E-S-S, mess. Football in New York is a mess, or New Jersey if you prefer. Welcome back to the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. I don't know where Trevor Lawrence is going to end up, but if he's never been to Jersey, he probably ought to take a drive up the Garden State when he gets a day off.
That's a possibility. It all depends, you know, because they still have two young, fairly young quarterbacks. But, you know, that's a position where, you know, the experiment will last for a while, and then they'll move on from that person and move on to the next one. We'll see. We shall see. But I'll say this, either team, he would be a piece, but he's not going to fix them that quick. For real.
Yeah, man, no kidding. I mean, he's just a piece to a look at Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. I mean, it's obvious Joe can play.
Yeah.
If he didn't get killed, Hugh.
No, but you know what? I haven't really seen too many of Cincinnati's games. Saw a little bit of the one against the Eagles and been kind of like just looking at the box scores from afar. I think Joe Burrow's going to be okay. I don't think Cincinnati, he just needs to get past this year. I think Cincinnati might be all right. They might be okay. I mean, like, really. Like, you know, he looks like he could be probably a special player. He looked like he could probably be one.
I think I might go max protect for every snap the rest of the year. I mean, what difference does it make if you're Cincinnati? Just protect the guy. Gosh almighty, he's just getting drilled out there. A couple of notes in the NFL, notwithstanding the Thursday night game here. This week in the division, if you're still paying attention to the division, and I know a lot of Falcons fans aren't because right now you're not in the race for the division, but nonetheless, L.A. Chargers at Tampa, Arizona at Carolina, and the Swampers are up in Detroit, so that's what you got. Detroit, the Chargers, and Arizona at Carolina in the division. The big story, of course, is Tennessee and Pittsburgh. Now, the game has been postponed on Sunday, and they're going to try and play at Hugh Monday, and we'll find out more today.
So we get an extra Monday night game, or is the crew – well, I guess that'll probably be Monday evening.
Yeah, they'll probably pull Fowler and Herbstreit to do the game.
Monday evening. No, that would probably be like Monday afternoon. Like, I'm thinking maybe a noon game or something like that. Because doesn't baseball have, like, doesn't they have
Monday for baseball going on, right?
Yeah, so you got to kind of, you don't want to conflict. But I guess, you know, being football, they don't really care about conflicting with anybody.
Right now the game's going to be Monday, but it could be Tuesday that we'll have the game. The Titans are in lockdown, locked out of their facility. They're having a remote practice now. I believe the last count was 9 people had tested positive. Now, good for the Vikings, who they played last week. Nobody's tested positive. So we'll see what happens here in terms of what they decide to do. Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the Titans, talking about the situation that his team finds itself in.
This is a very unfortunate situation, but one that we're confident that we will be able to handle safely with the football team and the players' best interest in mind.
All right, so two things here, Hugh. One is, you know, what's going to happen with this game? When are they going to play it? How's this all going to work out? And number two is, this is not a drill here. This is kind of what baseball went through at the beginning of the year with the Cardinals and the Marlins. The NFL has to figure this out. This is where we're going to learn a lot about their protocols right now.
Yeah, I think it's one where you're trying to just, I guess, the contact tracing is what they're trying to figure out and how this kind of went spread the way that it did, and just try to keep it from running rampant. That's what I kind of got from it, John. You know, with all the remote practice and everything, they're just trying to make sure that the Tennessee Titans season is not derailed.
Yeah, and of course, you know, if you have to, you know, figure out if they both miss a game, what happens then? You know, how does it affect the playoffs? And you know, how do you make these determinations? So there's a lot that goes into this. It's, you know, baseball, easy to make up. You just play doubleheaders, right? I mean, that's all. There was one little hiccup here, and it involved the Reds in a way where there were some people that were mad that St. Louis didn't end up having to play another doubleheader to make up its 2 games. They would have still made the playoffs, but it was a seeding thing. But this year, what does seeding matter? You're either going to be home or road in the 3 games, and then you're going to be at neutral sites. So nobody made a big deal out of it. But in the NFL, Hugh, it could be the difference between some team making the playoffs and some team not making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing about it. And that's why the NFL is trying to make sure that every number one, everybody's safe. And then number two, John, just try to get the game played and trying to figure out the best way to do that. As far as the Tennessee Titans were concerned, you know, not knowing, you know, when you're talking about the remote practice and everything like that, that disrupts the team tremendously. And just trying to figure out, you know, I was just thinking about how, you know, how is that going to affect them as a squad, and does that in essence give the Pittsburgh Steelers a leg up in that situation? Because you know Tennessee Titans are 3-0, so that would give them an opportunity. Like, say for instance, if they lost the game, not saying that they will, but if they did, they're still in the AFC. They're still in good standing. So you got to kind of look at it like that.
Talking about some of the NFL headlines, one of the other NFL headlines, Pat Mahomes talking to Kansas City, second week in a row. They play the biggest game of the week on the schedule. They certainly shined in that Monday night win over Baltimore, and now they get the Cam Newton-led New England Patriots coming into Kansas City, and this is what Pat Mahomes said.
It takes a lot. I mean, being able to watch all what they've done this year, being able to watch what they've done multiple years in the past. I mean, luckily for us, we've played them a good amount of times now, so we can see all the different types of stuff that they presented us and offenses like us. And so, you know, there's going to be unscouted stuff. There's going to be stuff that he's going to throw out there. I mean, that's why he's one of the best coaches of all time. And so we have to make sure that we are able to make adjustments quickly and find ways to not have negative plays and have positive ones, even if it's unscouted.
The Kansas City newspapers are saying, hey, Hugh, this is a big game because they think it's the changing of the guard game. This is going to usher in the era of the Chiefs and usher out the era of the Patriots.
Is that what it's going to do?
That's what they say. That's what they're rolling with it anyway. That's what they're rolling with. Just letting you know.
Won the Super Bowl last year?
Kansas City.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. For a minute, I forgot. For like a quick minute, I forgot. And I'll tell you, that Kansas City Chiefs team looks pretty darn poised to, go back. But to usher out the Patriots and usher in the Chiefs, come on, man. I tell you, we reaching for storylines now.
Yeah, the NFLPA has come on board with something that I have been asking for I don't know, probably my entire fandom. Because, and Hugh, you played on the stuff. I only played on AstroTurf once. I despise fake turf. Okay, I just hate it. I'm a grass guy. Don't like fake turf. It's like when you have to go to the driving range and hit off the mats. I go to a driving range and it's mats only. I just leave. I mean, there's no point in it. I just hate the turf. So now the NFLPA is calling, because of the rash of injuries that have been taking place, the NFLPA, J.C. Treader, who's the president of the NFLPA, is calling for the NFL to ban all turf fields and to have every team install grass.
Just okay. Saying. I mean, no, it's like, okay.
Are you in favor of that or no?
Am I in favor of not playing on turf? The only turf that I was never in favor of playing on was the one that they had at the vet, John. That was horrible. That was like playing on cement, and my body reminds me of that every day. That's what I remember. As far as playing on turf fields and people talking about injuries and stuff, I don't know. I played on turf my whole career. And knock on wood, I never had a torn ACL or anything like that. I guess I was just lucky. But, I don't know. I don't know. I know people. A lot of people are trying to, attribute, injuries to the service or whatever. I don't know. I don't know. I just think it's just, luck of the draw sometimes, or bad luck. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, we'll see here. We'll actually put this and flag this question for a little bit later on in the program when our injury expert Will Carroll gets on board here. Whether or not he thinks that would reduce some of the injuries. I think there are a lot of people like San Francisco 49ers who are raising hell about the fact that they think that the turf at the up in New Jersey. Why did I just blank? Up at the Giants and Jets Stadium up there is the reason that they suffered so many injuries. But we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how the NFL responds. I, for one, would love to see grass at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is an open-air stadium, so there's no reason that I don't think there couldn't be grass, right? I mean, just leave the roof open. There can be grass, it seems to me, only if for no other reason that soccer on turf is really bad. Football's bad on turf, but Hugh, soccer and baseball on turf, yeah, that really doesn't work for me. Ball bouncy.
I don't even know how to respond to that, John. I really don't.
No, George Tech just went to turf. I know. College football, quick look ahead around the corner here. We're just going to do a quick peek ahead to college football and see what we got on the agenda here. We're going to be talking more about the Braves throughout the day. And game two ahead today with the Braves and Reds, a noon first pitch at Truist Park with the Braves trying to close them out. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Georgia Bulldogs coming off a 37-10 thrashing of Arkansas in game one, where Stetson Bennett was the star of the game, coming in off the bench in relief. And now they face the Auburn Tigers coming up Saturday night and the home opener between the Hedges up in Athens on ESPN. And welcome back to the morning show here, talking a little bit about college football. Hugh, don't know yet who's the starting quarterback of the Georgia Bulldogs. I think a lot of people out there are thinking that the Bulldogs might just have, though, their third quarterback behind center this season in five quarters when they take their first snap against Auburn, and that will be JT Daniels.
I don't believe that to be the case. I don't think Stetson Bennett did anything not to start, to stop him from starting this weekend, I should say. I think that he should be the starter. I mean, I know that the other guy, JT, is going to be out there eventually. But I think that you give Stetson a start and see where he's at. Let him finish it out. He won the game for you last week, and he didn't do anything egregious for you to send him on the bench. So just let the man play. That's what I'm trying to say.
Let's see what Kirby Smart, head coach of the Dogs, has to say about the status of the quarterbacks for Saturday.
He's doing a good job. He's out there working. And I mean, for us, it's not really different than it was before. He was practicing before, so he's just practicing more now.
Yeah, okay. So you got absolutely nothing out of that soundbite of Kirby Smart talking about JT Daniels. Yeah. He's just out there practicing more. Okay.
Yeah, because he has been practicing with the team. He has been practicing, and I remember him saying something about, he was talking about how, you know, load management on that knee to make sure that he was able to do some of the things he wanted to do. But listen, my thing is this. JT Daniels is probably going to be the starter for the Georgia Bulldogs. No question about that. But if I could give him another week of getting stronger and not have to put him out there and put him under the rest this soon, why not do that? I understand that, you know, it's against Auburn and it's a big game or whatever. But Stetson Bennett didn't play bad last week. Didn't play bad at all. Came in and kind of sparked that offense for you. Showed that he could kind of lead if he had to. So why upset the apple cart? That's how I look at it, in my opinion.
Well, we'll see what Kirby Smart decides to do in that 7:30 start up in Athens, number 7, Auburn, number 4, Georgia. A huge game early in the season, rivalry game, as we all know. Gus Malzahn, he was out there saying, oh, Georgia's the most talented team in the nation. And Kirby Smart's firing back saying, okay, Gus Bus, you're just doing all that coach speak out there. It is a critical game for both teams, obviously. Maybe a game where Auburn, if they could possibly come in and steal this game against Georgia, would make a big statement that they are in that. We talk about this, Hugh. Can you reload and not rebuild? And if Auburn has a performance from its defense like they had against Kentucky, even though they lost Derek Brown, Marlon Davidson, and the heart of that defensive line, if they've got like guys like Daquan Newkirk and Colby Wooden, who are ready to become the next, you know, two guys in the interior of that line. If they're really ready and they can slow down Georgia, shut down Georgia, that's going to say that, you know, Gus is at that rebuild is not a situation anymore. It's just reload.
No, you know what, John? It's going to say that these two teams have some pretty good defenses and it's going to come down to a major slugfest. You know, and I think that's probably what it's going to be this weekend. Georgia defense, to me, showed a lot last week. They showed a lot of resilience and, you know, they got off, you know, they got hit in the mouth a little bit, but they were able to bounce back. And I look at it as – I look at this game as one where it'll probably come down to who can run the ball the best. Who can run the ball the best. And we know that Georgia, you know, who was it last week? Zamir White. I don't think he cracked over 100 yards. I don't have the box scores in front of me right now, but I don't think he cracked over 100 yards. But I could see him, you know, being a huge factor in this game coming up this weekend.
Yeah, and when it comes to running the ball, certainly the advantage goes to Georgia. If for no other reason, Auburn's defensive line played, again, really well against Kentucky. And they're going to have to play really well against Georgia. But Auburn's offensive line, they're young. They're really young. They're really raw. And they didn't run the ball at all against Kentucky. Bo Nix had a pretty decent day through the air, and Seth Williams, their wide receiver, was really good.
Yeah.
But they couldn't run the ball against Kentucky. If you're struggling at home to run the ball against Kentucky, good luck running against Georgia.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Zamir White had 13 carries last week, John, for 71 yards. So, yeah, he didn't crack 100. But I could see him factoring in. And you talk about Stetson Bennett, 20 for 29, 211 yards, 2 TDs. Mm-hmm. That does not scream to me a guy who deserves to be benched. That deserves another start, in my opinion. Now, Coach Smart might have something else in mind, but – until the young man goes out there and say it's kind of like the same. It's the Jake Fromm situation, you know, when Jake Fromm came in and he was starting. So it's
a 5-star guy with a big arm, or do you want to go with the guy that you feel most comfortable with behind center? I agree, Hugh. It's an interesting call. Meantime, Texas A&M and Alabama, that'll be a game. A&M played kind of poorly in its opening win. Alabama wasn't Alabama of old. Against Missouri, but they did get a victory. South Carolina, Florida is an interesting game to me. Well, I tell you what, Hugh, South Carolina last week kind of look, credit Tennessee for going down there and getting a win, okay? And the Vols, they did win the game. South Carolina had opportunities to win that game, and they didn't get it done again. And, you know, you just wonder how much patience South Carolina fans are going to have with Will Muschamp. And now he goes up against his old team again, and Florida's ranked no less than number 3 in the nation. Good luck going down there.
And like I always said about Florida, John, I like the way that their defense plays. They've always had, for the last, what, and I guess Abe can attest to this. For a while, they've always had a salty defense. And you talk about that offense with Kyle Pitts. He had 8 receptions last week for 170 yards. Come on, man. Fix it.
Yeah, and of course, Florida's got, you know, Kyle Trask, who's got the hot hand. There are not really many big national games this week, Hugh, and that's just the way the schedule kind of works sometimes. Sometimes you get, you know, a plethora, and the SEC is dominating, you know, with no Big Ten and no Pac-12 at the moment, kind of dominating the national landscape with its matchups. Like, for example, maybe the biggest matchup, Virginia against Clemson. That's the biggest matchup in the ACC, and Virginia's not a bad team, but does anybody think Virginia's going into Clemson and beating the Tigers? No, I don't think anybody's thinking that. By the way, do we see anything that indicates to us that you know, maybe outside of Notre Dame, that anybody can even hang with Clemson in the ACC?
Hugh? Wait a minute, you going with that Notre Dame thing again? Notre Dame is that like Notre Dame?
You know,
is
maybe Miami.
Game.
You know, the way they're starting.
So we're convinced Notre Dame's legit. Is that what you? That's what you saying on this station? That's what we're going with. Notre Dame's gonna put up a fight. They're gonna be that team. I'm asking you. Listen, I'm asking you a direct question, John Freaking. I need you to answer it right now.
I mean, that game's a South Bend, right?
You're doing a lot
of
stutter.
The Clemson game is South Bend, correct?
I'm talking about. So you feel like Notre Dame is bona fide. That's what you're telling me.
I think
right
they're
now.
A top 10 team. I would say I think they're a top 10.
That ain't bona fide, John. I said bona fide. You feel. Like bona fide, like Notre Dame. Okay, they're probably gonna be in the 14 playoffs. You feel like this is the year that Notre Dame will be vindicated from that bludgeoning that they took. What was it, last year, a couple years ago?
No, I don't think they'll make the playoffs. No, because they're an ACC member. Clemson's going to win the ACC. So
I'm just picking with you, John.
Notre Dame's a pretty good football team. I think the answer to that is yes.
What was it, a couple weeks ago? They had something on television and they were talking about. It was a special where they were talking about Notre Dame's fans were the most delusional fans in the country. Was that – listen, and I'm not taking shots at Notre Dame fans, but if we're being realistic about this situation, Notre Dame – when was Notre Dame's heyday? What, Jerome Bettis was playing?
Rocket well, I mean, the real heyday was like in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And
no, but I'm saying how many times – okay, late 80s, early 90s. Thank you, Oren. What have they – like, this ain't the first time that we've seen Notre Dame look like this. If I'm lying, hit me up on Twitter. This ain't the first time we've seen Notre Dame look like this. And when they go up against a bona fide team, they usually get smacked in the mouth. That's all I'm saying.
No argument here. That's true.
But then you can't. But no, I was just kind of picking with you, John.
And until they prove otherwise,
you can't be like, oh yeah, Notre Dame's that team to beat, really? Notre Dame?
No. I was just asking. Can anybody beat Clemson? You know, is Notre Dame?
Notre Dame can, John Freaking.
Yeah.
Notre Dame can get it done.
How good is Miami playing? Miami's playing really good football right now. Is Manny Diaz actually gotten that team with De'Aaron King to a point where they can? You know, maybe Miami suddenly has taken that huge leap, Hugh. Maybe the ACC is going to be more interesting than just – I guess I'm looking at, is there, you know, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Miami, those teams. Is there anybody that's going to get in Clemson's way of coming back to the college football playoff? Until proven otherwise, no. But it will be interesting to see if we're going to get proven otherwise. My point is it ain't going to be Virginia this week, wahoo, okay? The wahoos, you got no chance, wahoo. Just saying. We all know that. But go out there and play well. You're not winning the game. There's a Virginia fan out there going, you don't know what you're talking about. Bronco Mendenhall's going to – okay. I got you. We have some questions to ask our team, and we've got some interviews to get through because we got to get the experts involved in all this. Matter of fact, that Virginia-Clemson game, I have to ask Chad Millman about that, whether or not I'm off base. We'll do that next on a very busy, very busy Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. October is here. Braves play today and all that good stuff. Next with John and Hugh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.